Hello and welcome to the Fingal Business Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Fingal, one of 31 local enterprise offices around the country. Local Enterprise Office Fingal helps local business through a wide range of practical initiatives and programs. The LEO is your first-stop shop for business supports. So whether you're just starting out or an established business, Local Enterprise Office Fingal is here to help. The aim of the Fingal Business Podcast is to share quality information for small business owner managers to enable you to be more effective in running a successful enterprise. My name is Sharon Rossignuolo, and I'll be chatting to industry experts so that you can get the best advice to help you to succeed in your business. In this episode, we're sharing valuable tips on how to be legally sound in your business with featured expert and principal solicitor at Boland Law, Grace Boland. Grace Boland, you are very, very welcome to the Fingal Business Podcast.
Many thanks for having me on, Sharon. Very much appreciated.
You're so welcome. And I'm so, so grateful to have somebody who can actually give us straightforward, no-nonsense legal advice at a time when actually it's really, really important. So we will dive straight into it. And really what I want to talk about first is contracts. Why should business owners or SMEs care about contracts?
Very good question, Sharon. And I fully appreciate speaking about contracts isn't at the top of everyone's list of to-dos. But it is so important for businesses to understand their contract terms. What have they entered into? Be that with their customers or their suppliers, their banks or their landlords. Businesses need to be aware that their B2C relationships are heavily regulated and contract terms need to comply with numerous pieces of legislation. For example, the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act. They must not breach unfair terms legislation. And consumers also have online shopping protections. However, we don't have those same protections if you operate in the B2B world. And sometimes people forget that contracts actually lie at the heart of our everyday transactions. We don't always realize that. Every time we walk into a shop and we buy something, we've entered into a contract. And every time we make a sale in our business, we've entered into a contract, even if there are no written terms. And what is a contract? Effectively, a contract is a promise, or to use another word, agreement, which is recognized by the law. And when we set up our businesses, we're all understandably focused on sales and growth. We need to generate revenue to survive. We don't feel that we have the time or the money to look after the legal and regulatory aspects of our business. And that's understandable. We're trying to work out first if our businesses are viable. However, when we grow our businesses, we need to ensure that we are clear on the terms upon which we are transacting with both our customers and our suppliers. We need to understand what rights and obligations we have and what we can do when things go wrong. And unfortunately, sometimes things will go wrong. We need to understand how we can minimize our legal risks and have our basics covered. And that starts with having your own template contracts, understanding your key terms. For example, termination. Can I terminate a supplier if I'm not happy? Or what can I do if they automatically increase the price? Or if they can't supply the volume that I need, can I go and source items elsewhere? Similarly, in relation to our customer contracts, can I terminate a customer contract if I'm not making any money out of it? What have I actually committed to with that customer? What can I do if my own costs increase? Can I look to increase my price? You really need and want your contract to set out clear and transparent terms to avoid disputes at a later date.
Right. Okay. So it really sounds like there's a couple of things in there. It sounds like it's really to protect your business, but also it almost provides a system whereby you can provide for the ebbs and flow in business. So as you said, there, a change of supplier, you might even want to expand your business. So what does that mean? And what position are you in terms of making the changes that need to be made? So there's actually, it sounds like there's a very, very good business case for being on top of your contracts and putting a little bit of time into them. What particular areas, Grace, should people most consider when it comes to legal contracts?
Yeah, there are several areas that you really need to be mindful of when you're thinking of your contracts. And in your day-to-day business, The first area really is those customer contracts. And a contract exists, even an unwritten one, in all your day-to-day business transactions. A good starting point would be to have your own templates for customer contracts. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, your customers will want to negotiate your template terms. And if they're a very big customer, you will be inclined to negotiate your terms. And in those cases, it's a really good idea to have a contract policy, which sets out what your red lines are against your key terms. And what do I mean by key terms? So key terms in a contract would be, for example, the term of the contract, how long will it last, your financials and payment, how much will I get paid, when do I send my invoices, when is the payment deadline, termination. Can I terminate this contract for any reason I want? So we'd call that termination for convenience. And if so, how do I go about doing it? Normally you'd have a notice period, for example, 4 weeks notice of termination. And then liability. So you need to be mindful of your risks under your contracts. You should always try and cap your liability. I can't just give you a number as to what that might be, because it really is relative to what you're providing and taking into account the likely costs you might incur if something were to go wrong. Mm-hmm. And then an indemnity. Businesses should really try and negotiate a fault-based indemnity rather than agreeing to a general indemnity. And what do I mean by that? I mean that you should only agree to provide an indemnity to cover when your business has been at fault. You should also be mindful of insurance. Make sure that you only agree to insurance cover within the limits of your insurance policies. And as we spoke about a few minutes ago, Sharon, renegotiation. Consider in what circumstances you might want or need to renegotiate the terms of your contract. For example, if an increase in the minimum wage were to greatly increase your costs, you could look to include this as a trigger event in your contract. And then retention of title. If you supply goods in the B2B world, consider including a retention of title clause. In theory, such a clause entitles the supplier to retake possession of any unpaid goods. However, you need to be careful with retention of title clauses. They need to be properly drafted to be enforceable. But if you don't include one in your contract, it will mean that if your customer goes into insolvency, you will rank as an unsecured creditor and you won't end up likely being paid for those goods. Then GDPR. GDPR is all about transparency. It wants us to be clear with our customers what data we have on them and what we're going to do with it. So if you process the personal data of your clients, or if any of your suppliers process your personal data or that of your clients, you're required to include specific GDPR provisions in your contract. And then there will always be industry-specific terms. So depending on the industry that you work in, you may want to include a specific clause. For example, if you create content or if you create software programs, it's very important that you make it clear who owns the intellectual property in those goods in your contracts.
People think of these legal contracts, et cetera, as being something that big companies do, but actually it's from the one man or the one woman band right up to any size company, isn't it?
Oh, very much so, Sharon, absolutely. For example, coaching in your world, you really need to have a letter of engagement with your clients. You need to set out those personal data clauses because you are processing someone's personal data as part of your business. Mm-hmm. Similarly, you need to make sure that you have covered off your payment terms. You need to ensure, say you want to terminate or your client wants to terminate your arrangement, you need to make sure that you've covered what steps are to do that. And the contract is the best way to be transparent with your customers and with yourselves as to how things will operate when you need to do any one or other of these things.
Yeah, exactly. And the clarity gives a great amount of comfort as well. And I have to say, it also adds a level of professionalism. So you feel much more comfortable going into business with somebody who, or doing a transaction with somebody who has all this stuff wrapped up and it's very clear what's going to happen in various circumstances and ever. So it actually, it almost adds an element of credibility to your business as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Sharon. And really, transparency with your customers is so important. That will really help your relationship, and it really helps avoid disputes. And disputes are costly and they take up a lot of time. So having a contract really helps avoid all of that and set you up for a really good commercial relationship with your customers and your suppliers.
Yes, exactly. And that's, I suppose, for anybody who's listening in who, you know, they've got the fear of God in them now. Oh, how do I even start with this? This is something that you would assist with. And in general, I suppose, you know, the help is out there if people seek to look forward. But it all starts with an intention and an understanding that this kind of thing is important for your business.
Absolutely. It really is. And it, as I said, it really helps avoid disputes, and no one wants to end up in a dispute situation.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Now, let's talk about COVID. Many companies were caught on the back foot when COVID hit. So knowing what we know now and that level of uncertainty that is likely to exist, what is your advice for companies if they want to get their contracts in order now?
So true, Sharon. So many companies were caught on the back foot in relation to COVID. Many didn't have contracts in place. They didn't know. And if they did, they didn't know where they were or what the terms were, or whether something like COVID or a lockdown was actually even contemplated in them. And to be fair, it may not have been, even if they did have contracts. I suppose now that we know that pandemics and lockdowns may be a feature of our world, we should really try and contemplate what happens if and when they occur and agree a reasonable position with our trading partners. As we just spoke about, transparency is so key to a good working relationship. And there's already concerns in the legal world that as we go in and out of lockdown, that there will be a huge increase in contractual disputes. And businesses really need to avoid them, as contractual disputes are very costly in both your time, but also money. Legal fees for disputes really start to rack up very quickly. But having clear terms and conditions should help avoid disputes.
That's such a good point, actually. I mean, who budgets for disputes? And yet, if we don't have these protective measures in place, that could very likely end up being one of the expenses that we could all do without this year, let's be honest.
Absolutely. And it really starts to hit your bottom line. Litigation can really rack up very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I can only imagine hourly rates that go into that. And it really doesn't bear thinking about. So I suppose in practical terms, Grace, what can businesses do to keep on top of their legal stuff?
So the first thing they should do is have their own template contracts or letters of engagement, setting out those key terms. Then also, it's very important to read your supplier contracts. We've all clicked the button saying that we've read the terms and conditions, but how many of us actually have? And it really is only when things go wrong that you look for those terms and conditions and realize what you've signed up to.
Yes.
And a good example of this is actually IT contracts. IT companies are extremely clever at putting their terms and conditions in very small fine print. You sign up to automatic renewals unless you give long notices of termination. So, for example, you could be signing up to a 2-year automatic renewal unless you give at least 6 months notice of termination prior to the renewal date. I mean, whoever looks to terminate a contract 6 months out of the renewal date, you know, you just don't. So unless you actually read the terms and conditions and understand that at the time, diary it forward, you could actually be caught for a 2-year renewal when you had fully intended to unsubscribe. And also, they're all very good at putting in automatic price increases. And I've seen increases as much as 50%. So you could be caught in a 2-year renewal at an increase of 50%. So it's very important with your IT contracts to look at them, know whether they have automatic price increases and automatic renewals in them, and diary 6 months before the termination period to make sure that you can consider whether you really want to continue with that IT provider. And then lastly, having a contract database is a really good idea. And I don't want to scare anyone with this. I don't mean anything fancy at all. A simple Excel spreadsheet setting out those key terms for both your customer and supplier contracts. And it'll really help highlight what your key contracts are, where your key suppliers are, how much you're paying them, when your contracts are up renewal. And it'll help you understand where your legal risks are. And it really doesn't have to be fancy. But doing those three things will really help manage your contracts.
It's brilliant advice, Grace. And, you know, it's not difficult. It's really about getting a handle on your business and keeping control. And, you know, even when you were talking there about diarying it in, like, it's a simple thing of even just picking up your phone and putting the date in the calendar and that's it. And I certainly, for one, have most certainly gotten caught out on subscriptions that auto-renewed after a year and I don't even use them anymore.
Exactly. We all have. We including, you know, big businesses. I've seen it happen in big corporates too. You know, no one reads the fine print. Everyone clicks. And they see terms and conditions. We all scroll to the bottom. Yeah. Make it okay.
and get annoyed even if it takes too long to scroll. It's like, oh, how long is this? But actually, there's stuff there that's worth doing. And I suppose I want to point out at this stage, you know, you talk about disputes and you talk about seeing things happen. This is part of your life. You see this stuff happening all the time and you see this stuff going wrong all the time.
And that's the thing. And I really want SMEs out there to try and avoid this because it really will affect your bottom line and will affect your business. It'll take up the time that you should be devoting to growing your business, making new sales, making new contacts, devising new products. And you really, really don't want to spend your time and energy on legal disputes.
Keeping the wheels turning and getting paid are key to business survival. Yet this is an area that can be really challenging for businesses, particularly now when they don't have the luxury of chasing invoices or being paid late. So Grace, what can businesses do to ensure they're paid on time?
So firstly, it's back to the contract. Make sure it sets out how often you'll invoice your customers and what their payment deadlines are. For example, is it 21 days from the date of invoice or 30 days from the date of invoice? Mm-hmm. And actually, conscious of how crucial cash flow is to businesses, and the inequality of bargaining power, which sometimes occurs in the B2B world, the EU introduced legislation to penalise customers who miss payment deadlines in B2B transactions. And although this legislation has actually been in effect in Ireland since 2012, many business owners who I speak to are completely unaware of it. Mm. And it's a nice little piece of legislation. It says that the general payment deadline should be 30 days unless the contract specifically states otherwise. And it should not be greater than 60 days unless specifically agreed between the parties, but is not grossly unfair to the supplier. And it also provides that where customers miss payment deadlines, that suppliers are automatically entitled to recoup interest and a small amount of compensation per invoice. So say, for example, invoices under 1,000, you're entitled to 40 euro. Invoices between 1 and 10,000, you're entitled to 70 euro. And invoices over 10,000, you're entitled to 100 euro.
Wow, so that would all rack up if you had a contract that was consistently out of its payment agreed time or whatever, wouldn't it?
It absolutely would. And you can go back as far as 6 years. So I suppose the one thing you need to be mindful with this is how you actually use it to get paid. So in some of your customer relationships, if you suddenly start to charge them compensation and interest, it may actually ruin the relationship. So you need to be mindful of how and sensitive as to how you commercially deal with it. So, for example, you could use it as a threat to get your payments in on time. Or you could advise all of your clients that you're going to automatically start charging this if payments are missed. And then where a relationship has broken down, it may be worth reviewing how many times that customer made late payments over the last 6 years and consider now charging them all of the interest and compensation for every late paid invoice. And if they fail to pay that amount, and it is considerable, it is worth considering taking legal proceedings to recover the money because you are entitled to it automatically under the legislation.
Right. So there is that level of protection for businesses. And as you say, it is up to each individual business owner what they want to do with a particular client or whatever. But certainly, if things are very, very difficult, then it's certainly worth knowing this stuff and obviously making a decision around what you want to do based on your knowledge. But I suppose knowledge is power in this particular situation. I had no idea about the late payments legislation. I have to say that's really valuable information. Thank you, Chris.
You're very welcome. And no one does, Sharon. And as I said, you may not always use it, but you can use it as a lever to encourage payment.
Exactly. And again, it's about that level of credibility when you're dealing with another business. You're like, oh, right, okay, so they're pretty serious about this. I'll just get this paid and get it out of my hair and that's it. And, you know, being paid is the lifeblood of every business at the end of the day, isn't it? And you know, even for the economy, it's about pumping money around and making money available for companies to spend, and they can pay their suppliers who will then pay their suppliers, etc. So money makes the economy go round. So it's worth getting paid on time.
Absolutely. It really is. And to be fair to Europe, it is something they're conscious of. And I think they're also aware that people don't really know about this legislation. And in a lot of cases, suppliers are afraid to use it because they don't want to damage their relationships with their customers. So I think the EU is trying to come up with other ways to try and encourage cash flow. But certainly this is definitely a good one to know about.
Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I have to say, overall, I think I've learned more in this particular 20-25 minutes than I have learned in the past 2 weeks, because I really did not know about it. So it's really brilliant stuff, and it's brilliant for businesses to know and to be educated and be aware. My final question to you, Grace, what key piece of advice would you like to leave businesses with today?
Thanks, Sharon. So contracts may be boring, but they are the key to transparency and avoiding costly disputes. Revenue and growth are so important to ensuring a successful business. But if business owners do not minimize their legal risks and have proper contract management in place, they will find that their revenue starts to be impacted as a result of entering into bad contracts. And no one wants that. Also, learn from the COVID-19 crisis and make sure that you know your contracts so you aren't scrambling around if we encounter the same difficulties again. And make sure that your contracts contemplate fair commercial terms for pandemic and lockdown situations, and to make sure that you can survive in business.
Absolutely brilliant, Grace. Thank you so, so much for sharing your legal knowledge and wisdom, which is immense, I have to say. And, you know, helping businesses to get through this. And I suppose, as I said already, knowledge is power. So just sitting down and figuring that out. What contracts do I need to put in place? What templates do I need to put in place? Getting that little database together. Who are my suppliers? Who are my customers? What do they know? How transparent am I? And look, the help is always out there as well for people who need it, from the likes of yourself and many other organizations, including obviously the Local Enterprise Office as well. We're always there to help. So on behalf of all our listeners and the Local Enterprise Office in Fingal, thank you so much, Grace Boland.
Many thanks, Sharon. I really enjoyed it.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast episode brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Fingal. For more information and to keep up to date with our services, check out www.localenterprise.ie/Fingal and sign up to our newsletter.